This is Rat Pack Radio, the internet radio station that brings you everything from the top hits in music.
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars. Players only, come on, put your pinky
rings up to the moon. To Sports Talk Radio.
With the first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Jared Goff, quarterback, California.
We are here for you, WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack.
You're listening to WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack. You're listening to Rat Pack Sports Show on WRPR Rat Pack Radio.
Blue, you're my boy!
A genius. A man who has a reputation to be the best at what he does.
You see, a man has to realize his limitations. You don't know me, and you don't know what I'm capable of.
That was a heck of an effort.
This house is a prison in the galaxy of this sucks.
Are you free enough?
This battle is over when I say it is over.
I will massacre you.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Are you not entertained?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
That's how I roll.
Offensive foul!
Hello? You play to win the game.
There's a drive! Way back! It might be! It could be! Yeah!
It's my favorite part coming up right now.
All right, all right, all right. Rat Pack Sports Show. We are back. We are live Wednesday night. Rat Pack Radio, WRPR. Streaming online, ratpacksports.com. And also the Rat Pack Radio, WRPR app. We in the building another week. Bring you the best there is in sports talk and entertainment. And as always, we bring it to you real. We don't care about your feelings. That's just what we do here. So we got a lot to talk about today. A lot of NFL. Nikki Buckets will be on with us to talk some NBA. And we will also have William Graves joining us here in a little bit. So until they get here, we're just going to get into a little bit of this past weekend games and talk about, you know, the matchups and, you know, the what ifs. So let me go to my sources here. And yeah, so, you know, you got this past weekend, you know, most of the games were good games. They all were, you know, good competitive games outside of the Giants game, which we all kind of expected the Philadelphia and the Giants game to be somewhat of a beat down. We just didn't know how bad it would be. Eagles are a very tough team, and you know they got a good balance, especially with the quarterback, his ability to, you know, run with his legs and also throw the ball. That's a very rare feat to, you know, have a quarterback that's an accurate passer that is just as dangerous, you know, passing the ball as he is running as you have in Hurts. He's been fantastic this season. And he's been undefeated in the games that he's played in. They haven't lost a game with Hurts under center. I don't think, or maybe it's 14-1 or something like that. But you know, they've been really good. So you know, that game there was kind of a snooze fest. You know, that's just the way it is. And before we go on, I'm going to bring him on in because he just came in with us. Rat Pack Sports Shows, Mr. William Graves. What's going on, brother?
Oh, man, nothing much. Just got done eating a little bit of dinner, and now I'm ready to talk some sports.
Yeah, man. And, you know, just getting ready to get into some action here from this past week. And, you know, I'm going to just get scores, and then we'll get into, you know, the games itself. But,
okay.
First game, Jags Chiefs, 27-20. And folks, I know we want to, you know, we want to give Patrick Mahomes all the credit, you know, for coming back on the high ankle sprain and playing that second half. But it took that for them to win this game, because I know Chad Henne came in for that one drive and he led them down the field for a TD. If Chad Henne was going to play the rest of the way in that game, I'm not sure that the Chiefs win, because the Jaguars was on their behind. And I never felt like the game was out of hand with Jacksonville and the Chiefs. I never felt like the Chiefs was going to blow it open, because we've seen the Jaguars throughout the season make adjustments in the second half and come back. And that's what they, you know, they did. They made adjustments. They moved the ball well. They were really good running the ball. They ran the ball efficiently. Defensively, they played really well. It, you know, 27-20. And it could have been, who knows, if Jacksonville don't fumble on that drive, they were moving the ball, they were inside the red zone, and they fumbled to give the ball back to Kansas City inside of their own red zone. Who knows what that game could be at that point. I believe...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I believe if Jacksonville scored a touchdown on that drive, that we're talking about a different team, you know, playing in the AFC Championship.
You know, I have to agree with that, because they scored that touchdown. Okay. That's that completely changes the complexity of the game, because now instead of running plays to run out the clock, you're now talking about running plays trying to get a touchdown. Not saying that the Chiefs couldn't have done it. Because, I mean, they very well could have, but I don't know. Something tells me that the outcome would have been different. And speaking of Jacksonville, and I think I know what you're going to say, But is Jacksonville the surprise team of the year?
It's either out of Jacksonville and Detroit. Now, Detroit didn't make it to the playoffs, but both of them kind of came from the same place. You know, they were both, I think Jacksonville last season won four or five games or something like that. Three or four games, I think.
I was about to say, I thought it was two or three games.
Yeah, and Detroit, I think they won about the same amount. And Jacksonville was a dumpster fire because of the whole Urban Meyer debacle that happened. You know, he wasn't prepared or quality NFL coach, and it showed. And Detroit, we seen Detroit fighting all year. They lost a ton of close games last season in the final minutes, final seconds, last second kicks. So we knew Detroit would be a team on the rise this season. We just didn't know how far they would come. We didn't know about Jacksonville. Jacksonville, again, last season was just ridiculous. And
well, I mean,
a turnover of the coaching staff. You know,
right?
You know what? We could say Jacksonville because Jacksonville had a lot of turnover this offseason with the coaching staff. Detroit kind of stayed status quo and allowed the process, and where Jacksonville had to make coaching changes, a lot of them, due to the fact that Urban Meyer wasn't prepared and wasn't ready to be an NFL coach. And he kind of, you know, that could have went, had they not selected Doug Peterson, that whole situation from Urban Meyer could have costed them about two or three more years.
Well, wait a minute. You got to remember, Doug Peterson was not their first choice.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, I know he wasn't their first choice, but he kind of fell into their lap. What's funny is, and I know you're going, Byron Leftwich, and this is what I'm talking about. Byron Leftwich was interviewed for that Jacksonville Jaguars job.
They offered
him the job, and he declined it. He turned it down and said he didn't want it. That was the best thing that could have ever happened to Jacksonville, because had Byron Leftwich taken that job, based on what I've seen as him leading the offense, and I know there's a lot of moving parts and everything like that, but he is the offensive coordinator, so he's got to take some blame. He is now in charge of developing Trevor Lawrence in that Jaguars offense that was so good, especially in the second half of the season. I'm willing to bet that if Byron Leftwich was the coach of the Jaguars, we're not talking about Jaguars and the Chiefs in the playoffs, because the leadership that it takes, the leadership and the experience that it takes to lead a young team takes a veteran coach. A young coach this is first rodeo, and you know, your fingers crossed just like everybody else's. That's not the guy you want leading. And luckily for Jacksonville, it would have been a feel-good story. You know, Byron Leftwich was drafted, you know, by the Jaguars, led that franchise, you know, for a lot of years early in his career. It would have been a great feel-good story for the Byron Leftwich and, you know, the Jaguars organization. That's about it.
Here's the thing about that, Derek. It can still be a feel-good story, because Byron Leftwich could become eventually the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. There is no doubt in my mind. Okay, Byron Leftwich has intelligence. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's not, you know, he's not. I'm just saying he has to get that experience.
He's young.
He's too young.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You know, to be honest with you, you know, Bruce Arian kind of, you know, handed him the keys way before he was ready. And
he shouldn't have done that.
He kind of exposed him a little bit as an offensive coordinator. So I'm sure he'll land a job somewhere else. But
right now, he is a very highly regarded candidate to go to Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Now what capacity that is, I have no idea. However, if it is as an offensive coordinator, that may not be a bad situation for him, and I'll tell you why. Because Mike Tomlin has that coaching staff set up to be able to, I guess you could say, support one another almost. I don't know if that's the correct term. But learning and having a net is what Byron Leftwich needs right now. Okay, he got his feet wet as an offensive coordinator under Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians was there to guide him, et cetera, and all that. You're going to get that exact same thing over there with Mike Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be the best possible outcome for him right now. I will tell you, it will not surprise me to see Byron Leftwich on the Steelers coaching staff in some capacity. It will not, because I think he is smart enough to know that he has some stuff to work on, and I think he is smart enough to know where he would best fit in. And right now, I say that's Pittsburgh. I'm not saying that he can't go somewhere else, because he could, but I don't think there's anywhere else that is set up to be able to help Byron Leftwich progress in his coaching career like Pittsburgh. Hmm.
No, I think you know, Pittsburgh, for the style that they play, would be a perfect fit for Byron Leftwich to go over there and establish himself as a play caller.
Yes.
You know, because they like that, you know, they like to run the ball. They want to play the physical style. And, mm-hmm. You know, while he, you know, hones his craft as far as a passing attack, you know, that'd be a good spot to go. You know, the head coach job is safe. You're not going to be worried about, as long as you go over there and produce, your job is safe, because Mike Tomlin's job is safe. So that is a, you know, really good, I think that's really good for him to be there. And there's been rumors way before, like before Byron became the offensive coordinator here in Tampa, there was rumors of him, you know, going to Pittsburgh. This past offseason. I think he won it because he was interviewing for the Jaguars job. And then they were saying that, you know, the Steelers had had some interest in him as well, coming in as a offensive coordinator. So that was before, you know, and again, I'm going to always point the finger at this whole situation. I'm always going to point the finger at Bruce Arians because Bruce Arians, and we'll get back to the playoffs, but I want to get this out real quick. Bruce Arians put all this in motion when he got here. The plan was for him to coach a few years and then eventually relinquish himself to the front office and then promote Todd Bowles as the head coach and Byron Leftwich as the offensive coordinator. So I wasn't surprised. A lot of people were surprised by all this. If you were, you weren't really paying attention because this plan been set in motion before Bruce Arians even signed the dotted line over here. But
because didn't he come right out in a press conference?
Yeah.
Or in an interview?
It was either the first press conference or somewhere around that time when he first signed, doing one of the press conferences or like a, you know, after a practice, you know, presser or something like that, where he talked about all this stuff. And I was like, okay, whatever, you know what I'm saying? I understand what he's trying to do. You know, the NFL has this Rooney Rule in place, and they want to make more minority and black coaches, you know, leaders, head coaches in the league. I understand that 100%. But my thing the whole time was, how do you do that without having an interview process to where you want to make sure you've got the right person in the position? Like, could there have been a better offensive coordinator than Byron Leftwich? 100% it could have been. We could have found somebody better. And, you know, nothing gets – I like Todd Bowles. I think he's a good dude. You know, great defensive mind. But sometimes you just not head coach material. And when he was in New York, it looked like this year.
Yep.
And that's
it did.
And you're talking two different organizations that was going in two different directions. One had a roster full of doo-doo, and then the other team in the Bucks had a roster that looked like a championship roster. But the results from both of the teams that he was the head coach of looked the same. The game plan looked the same. The offense looked the same. Some of the decision making looked the same. So my thing, maybe we like to call the Jets a dumpster fire because, you know, the last few many years, the Jets being a dumpster fire in their front office. But maybe it wasn't all on the Jets. Maybe some of it had to do with Ty Bowles.
Well, yeah. Well, no, I completely agree. The way I'm looking at it now is it's looking like a 50-50 thing. I mean, the thing is, with the coaching staff, and I understand the turnover. I understand the coaching staff turnover. Okay, believe me, I get it. Because Todd Bowles was coaching with Bruce Arians' coaching staff. Okay, not every head coach is going to be the same. You're not going to be. It is very rare to find a seamless transition where you can just swap out head coaches and everything stays the same. Pittsburgh managed to accomplish that. But at this point, that is about the only franchise that I can tell you has been able to do that, because not every head coach is the same. And that is why we're seeing the turnover that we did. However, going to make a very bold statement on this. Todd Bowles, you are on the clock. Honestly, you might have 2 years to prove yourself. That's where my mind is kind of at. You have about 2 years. I don't even know if the Glaciers are going to give you that long. You might have a year to prove that you can do this before the Glaciers fire you. And I would hate to see that, because Debo, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of recycling coaches. I think Todd Bowles is on a very short leash in Tampa.
Well, I think you're correct, because after a season like this, listen, everybody is mad at the Glazers or the Buccaneers organization for letting Byron Leftwich go. There's been a lot of sports personalities that's very upset about Leftwich being thrown to the wolves, so to speak. Well, how many of those sports personalities actually pay attention and watch all 17 Tampa Bay Buccaneer games? Or are they just on TV talking for a story? Because the people that's running their mouth, I know for a fact they eyes ain't focused on Tampa. Because a lot of these are former players and their allegiance is with the teams that they played their careers with. So At the end of the day, you always say it's a performance-based league. We say this all the time about players. Shouldn't it be the same thing with coaches? I mean, because Tom Brady was our quarterback don't mean that it's an automatic guarantee that everything just going to always go great. The offense just always going to score 30 points a game. And forget what the rest of the team look like. We got Tom Brady. There's a lot of people that think like that. There's a lot of people.
And that's the wrong way to think.
Exactly. So when, and this is where an experienced offensive coordinator comes in, because a lot of teams have deficiencies on the offensive side of the ball, on the defensive side of the ball, but the experienced offensive coordinators can schematically be creative in creating the matchups they want through motions, different formations, different looks. You run in the same two plays in six different formations. That's creativity of an offensive coordinator when you lack a running game, when you lack protection on the offensive line from certain individuals. You don't just keep lining up and depending on those dudes to make something happen when they ain't showed you all season long that they can't make nothing happen. So you scheme your way to hide their deficiencies so you can have some type of offense. And what have we been saying all season long? We're not we're not creative enough. It's too basic. Everybody knows what we're doing. Mm-hmm. The Baltimore Ravens was basically laughing at us. They defensively, they were laughing at our offense and how vanilla it was. They knew everything that was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of teams knew everything that was coming because we weren't creative. And we weren't creating offense. We were just running offense. So,
well, I'm going to say this. So, you have seen the same list that I have about the potential offensive coordinators.
Yeah,
that have been lined up for Tampa, and there's one guy on there, and I kind of scoffed at it. And then I got to talking to somebody, and he kind of pointed out something about this individual and the situation that he was in. And now I'm kind of re-examining my thought process on this particular individual, and that's Todd Monken. He was an offensive coordinator.
He was under Dirk Cutter. He orchestrated a top five passing game when he was here with Dirk Cutter as the head coach. That is a good look if that's the way they want to go. He's been here. He's done it. He's been successful. That's what you want. Either way, whether Brady is returning or whether he's not and you're going with Kyle Trask, you want an offensive coordinator that has proven himself. You don't want a guy that's going to come in and you don't know about. Oh, they don't have a track record.
The hiring of the offensive coordinator is going to be very telling as to which way that they're going to go with, quarterback wise.
Well,
and I'll tell you why. Because I really do believe that if you hire a Todd Monken or you hire a Jim Bob Cotter, who was the quarterback coach,
mm-hmm.
or in Jacksonville, you have Todd Monken that has been with the University of Georgia for the last 2-3 years.
Yeah.
If you see a hire like that, you very well could be looking at a Kyle Trask being our quarterback. Because now you're going to have, you would have one of the two offensive coordinators that has the experience with building quarterbacks. And now Cotter has not been in Jacksonville but for like a year. However, this was, and I know he doesn't have a lot of years under his belt, but between the year of how long has Trevor Lawrence been in the league? What, 2-3 years now?
This season was his second year. I mean, his rookie year was,
rookie year was trash.
Yeah, I mean, his rookie year. Let me make sure, but I'm sure his rookie year was the same year that Urban Meyer took the job. But I can look it up real quick here, so let me see. Yeah, last season was his rookie year.
Okay. Even if you look at the two different years, I don't know about you, but between from this year to last year, I see a stark difference.
Yeah. From this season to last season for Trevor Lawrence, everything was up. His passing attempts was down, but he had more completions.
Right.
And his completion percentage went up 10 points, actually 7 percentage points, from 59 to 66. His passing yards improved by roughly 500 or 600 yards. His average yards per pass was 7 yards per pass. And his TDs was 12 his rookie year, 25. Interceptions flipped from 17 to 8. Sacks were down, and his QBR, you know, his QBR was up as well as his quarterback rating. So, yeah, and
well,
night and day.
Well, now,
night and day.
Well, now also, and you know, and this is a pretty decent segue to get back on to the playoff team, still in the playoffs and everything, but I want you to look at who the head coach is. Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson is not new to this.
Nope.
You got to look, man. Doug Peterson is, what, 3-4 years removed from winning a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah, with
Nick Foles.
Nick Foles, and his quarterback was a young, you know, quarterback that looked like he had a really good future in Carson Wentz. And, you know, since he's parted ways, Carson Wentz hasn't been the same quarterback.
I am just going to throw something out there. And you can laugh. You can scoff at this if you want. However, let's just say that Cooter, however you pronounce his last name, moves on to take an offensive coordinator job somewhere else. I will not be surprised. Would not be surprised at all if Frank Reich winds up in Jacksonville with Doug Peterson. Remember, Frank Reich was there in Philadelphia with Doug Peterson during that Super Bowl run, if I'm not mistaken. I believe he was a quarterback coach or something like that. I'm not going to be surprised. There's another move I will not be surprised about. If Jacksonville brings in Carson Wentz as a backup quarterback.
No.
This move will not surprise me.
Well, it may not, but this is why I say no. Trevor Lawrence is your guy.
Yes.
And while Carson Wentz will probably make a really good guy to have behind you, I don't think he's ready to just be a backup. So,
Debo, he has got to be for right now.
I'm not sure, man. Think about it now. We look around the league. There's still a lot of teams that's looking for a quarterback. And listen, Boss Hogg, I love you, brother. I really do. But the Colts are dysfunctional. The Colts dysfunctional. And I'm the Washington Commanders are dysfunctional.
Oh, okay. And hold on.
The reason why I'm going to say this is because how many quarterbacks did the Colts go through this season? Just not due to injury, just because. They went through 4 quarterbacks. Why are we going to start this guy? Well, we brought in Matt Ryan. Well, we don't want him to play, So we're gonna play this guy. Oh, well, he's not good enough. So instead of going back to Matt Ryan, let's just go to the third string quarterback. So that is dysfunction. And if you don't have, if you got three quarterbacks, you don't have one. If you got two quarterbacks, you don't have one. And it's the same thing with Washington. And Ron Riverboat Run, hey, the guy has been a really good head coach in this league for many years. That's not what I'm questioning. What I'm questioning is your commitment to a quarterback. Because on one term, you bring in Carson Wentz to be the guy, right? At the first sign of the team, Wentz got hurt. You got lucky there. Wentz got hurt, and then you had to go with the guy who brought life into the team last season and came back and won games for you last season. You benched him to bring in Wentz. That was your first mistake. You should have just stayed with him and let him start the season as the number one.
Okay.
But
and I'm going to say this.
You
because
did.
You can go back and you can replay the show. It was a playoff game between the Buccaneers and at the time I believe they were the Redskins.
Yeah, that was a Super Bowl year, wasn't it?
And yeah, I believe so. And after that game, you can go. Like I said, you all can go back and you can re-listen to it. I told Boss Hogg, there is your starting quarterback, Taylor Heinicke. I will still stand by that. Taylor Heinicke deserves to be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yep, he earned it. We watched this dude. We watched him last season. And the way he played, the way that team rallied around him, the way the leadership he showed, he deserved to be the starting quarterback coming into this season. So the fact that after all that, because he wasn't a high drafted dude or whatever the case may be, you decide we're going to go get Carson Wentz when this dude was playing better than Carson Wentz that last season. You bench him and bring in Wentz. Wentz wasn't the dude you thought he was. Luckily, he got hurt. So now you go back to Heinicke. And what does he do? The second he comes in, he leads them to a 5-3 record with him as a starting quarterback. The first sign of him struggling, which all young quarterbacks struggle, even the older quarterbacks struggle. We watched Brady struggle. We watched Aaron Rodgers struggle this season. We've watched, Russell Wilson struggle the whole season in the new system. Josh Allen struggled at, some point this season. He's one of the better young quarterbacks. Some Patrick Mahomes struggled some games. But what you can't do is this is a desperate head coach. For whatever the reason is, I understand you want to make the playoffs. You was never winning that division. So that wasn't even what you was playing for. So the only thing you was really playing for was that last wild card. And you didn't get it, but maybe you could have got it if you would have just stuck with one quarterback and not played the quarterback carousel the last month of the season.
Well, so here's the thing on that. I don't have a problem with them bringing in Carson Wentz. I did not have a problem with that. What I had a problem with is they brought him in to be the starting quarterback.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. You knew you was bringing him in to be the starting quarterback. You wasn't bringing in Carson Wentz and giving him, that kind of money to be a number two guy.
Wrong contract. I'm telling you that right now.
I agree with you, but you should never brought him in. You had Heinicke on the roster already. He earned that right. You took it from him just because. It's not that he played bad. You took it from him. That already, right there, that showed you weren't confident in him. And then you turn around and you drafted.
You can't be confident in him.
Yeah, and then you turn around after that, and then you draft another quarterback. And again, Boss Hogg, you my guy and everything, but the guy, he's only played one game, right? I mean, Chris Sims looked good in a few games as a Buccaneer quarterback. And we thought we had something because you look at the pedigree he came from. Obviously, that didn't work out. But he only played one game, and you can't. I know what the Washington fans are thinking. Oh, he looked good against Dallas. And he played a good game. That's one game. Their teams don't even have tape, so they weren't even prepared for him. You started a dude that nobody has tape on. So how can they game plan for somebody that they going into a game with no information on outside of his draft report?
So with them drafting Sam Howell, I do not have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is that yet once again, you're putting Taylor Heinicke
to the second bench. You're putting him behind. You're putting him to the bench.
I'm sitting here and I'm shaking and I'm like, why? Why are you doing this? Okay. Sam Howell could be a starting quarterback in the NFL eventually. But right now, in all honesty, he probably should be third in the depth chart. And what you really should be doing is looking around the league and looking for a suitable backup quarterback to back up Heinicke. I maybe a Teddy Bridgewater, even though I think Teddy could probably start for a few teams. You need a Ryan Fitzpatrick type backup.
Yeah, who's going to do that?
A guy that can come in, if need be, could even win you a couple of games, but for the most part, can manage the games. Yeah. That is what you need. You need a game manager. Quit doing this quarterback carousel, Rivera. You're better than this. Like, I don't get this, but going back to my previous statement, I think the best possible situation for Carson Wentz right now would be in Jacksonville as a backup. Okay, Wentz has got to get that mojo back, or whatever you want to call it, that he had before he got hurt.
Just confidence. Can get it back, that's all. It's just confidence. I mean, and to be honest with you, he's not getting a whole lot of opportunities to get in rhythm and stay in the rhythm. So, you know, at the end of the day, you have to. You know, at the end of the day, you have to do a better job of, you know, when you choose a guy, you got to stay with that guy and not jump around and say, okay, this week he's my starter, next week he's my starter. You won't even have a chance for
continuity for one.
Yeah. Yeah, you won't even have a chance for continuity or even going out and getting a bigger name, because that's what they're gonna be questioning is your commitment to the quarterback position. Like at the first sign of me struggling, are you gonna bench me?
Well, and unfortunately, I think that might be Rivera's downfall.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of Washington problems in this season was on him. It was his decisions that he made directly to the quarterback position. I don't care what anybody say, but that is, we saw it. Could you had a few more extra wins if you would have just went with Heinicke from day one? Probably. Because you brought in a guy that was brand new to your offense and he struggled the whole first month of the season. When you got a guy on your bench that know the whole system. And he was a better quarterback the previous year. So that's all his problem, man. That is all on him. And I'm not afraid to sit here and say it. I just call it like it is, man. I just call it like it is. And that's what, you know, that's what I've been saying in the group. He's got a man up. You know, he fired Scott Turner when really you left him with no choice. You kept shuffling the quarterbacks on him. Now, how you blame him for your offensive struggles when you couldn't figure out who you wanted to be your quarterback? It don't make sense. And that goes back to the Bucs situation. Scott Turner was Ron Rivera saving his behind. He was a fall guy. Scott Turner was a real fall guy. Byron Leftwich had to go because they probably told Todd Bowles he needs to go. And if he says no, then you're losing your job and he's losing his job. So, you know, it's as we see, man, the quarterback position is a very important position for every team. And if you don't have that guy or that guy that you're confident in, you know, it's going to be hard to sell me on – you know, winning anything, any division, you know, going to the playoffs, you know, any of that. The guy got to prove himself. And so far, you know, he hadn't proved himself. So, John Heinicke proved himself in the Washington offense. So, unless you was going to make wholesale changes to the offense, you should have stayed with Heinicke. Now, you had to save your job and get rid of Scott Turner, which, hey, I thought, you know, he's a pretty good offensive coordinator. Just tell you like this. You look at the Washington offense, who's the threat? Dotson or whatever his name is, number 17? He's not even the number one receiver, but that's their best guy. You don't have a tight end. You don't have a Well, the young running back that they got this year, he's going to be pretty good. He was good this year. Number three, the guy that was shot in the leg in the preseason. He turned out to be a good draft pick. But he's not established. But that's my point. Like, you don't have any established players on that offense that can help your quarterback. You weren't going down with the ship. You didn't beat Dallas at the end of the season to get into the playoffs, and you know, all you watching fans was upset and mad and disappointed and whatnot, but you know, you didn't deserve it. Blame your head coach. That's what I say. Blame your head coach. Because he's the problem. He's the problem. His decisions cost the team at least two wins. So, we'll see, man. It's going to be interesting. You know, once we get the free agency and we see some of these teams start to make the decisions that's going to lead them in the next, you know, couple months or so. But going into the next season, beginning the free agency, we'll set up the draft for those organizations. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happened, man. I'm thinking. I'm thinking that you're gonna see a lot of movement, and I'm gonna go on record. I mean, I know Ron Rivera still has a job, but he's on the hot seat next season.
Well, I 1,000% agree with you on everything that you said. I kind of wanted to segue over to another game that we saw this weekend.
All right.
Between Buffalo and Cincinnati. Yeah.
Yeah,
Buffalo and Cincinnati. Bro, what happened to Buffalo?
Buffalo ran into this team that was playing in the Super Bowl last season, and they woke up. Now, here's the deal. Buffalo should be a little concerned. Not because they don't have the players. We know they have a roster. But you were playing at home in your elements, snow game, everything. Let me change that up. Normally, everything will work into the home team favor. But when you continue year after year to not commit yourself to the run, you would never win a snow game, ever.
Right.
Because
you're not wrong.
You just can't drop back and throw the ball. Let's see, how many times did Josh Allen throw the ball? Let me see. Schedule. All right, so last week, Josh Allen threw for 265 yards, but I need to go and how do I see the score here? All right, so let's see. All right, so last week, Josh Allen threw 40 passes. Right, 25 or 42, 265 yards, no touchdowns. Here's why you lost that game, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 8 carries, 26 yards. Devin Singletary, 6 carries, 24 yards. James Cook, 5 carries, 13 yards. Here's Cincinnati's numbers. Joe Mixon, 20 carries, 105 yards. Samaje Perine, 7 carries, 33 yards. Joe Burrow carried the ball 6 times for 31 yards. Bengals had 34 carries, ran for 172 yards. Buffalo, 19 carries, 63 yards. There's no difference between Josh Allen's numbers and Joe Burrow numbers. Joe Burrow just threw 2 touchdowns, and he was 23 of 36, where Josh Allen was 25 of 42, and the 2 touchdowns was the difference. So we praise Joe Burrow because Cincinnati came out, they you know, won the game. And great, he's a great quarterback. We already know this. But Josh Allen didn't have a bad game. They just couldn't run the ball. And that changed the game because when Buffalo was down, Cincinnati just said, we're just going to run the ball and run the clock out. And that's exactly what they did. 172 yards, 5 yards per carry. That was – You're not winning that game. And until Buffalo understand that, because over the last few years now, they have not been committed to the run. Josh Allen has been their biggest threat running the ball. So you got to do something different next season. You got to go out and you got to go and get you some linemen that can run block. Or you have to commit to the run. Either way, there has to be a change made. Singletary is a decent back. James Cook is, you know, a young back, but you drafted him to be running backs. Commit yourself to the run. You know, Buffalo defense is decent, but, again, you let a team run for 172 yards on you. That is why you're sitting home and you only scored 10 points at home and let the road team come in and make snow angels on your home field at the end of the game. So but that's what happened in Buffalo. Cincinnati right now is just a better team. Buffalo had some high expectations going into the season. We knew Buffalo would be good and kind of was a letdown. I mean, this is the crazy part, right? We're talking Buffalo, you let us down. They won 13 games. They were 13-3. And we're talking about Buffalo like they was 8-8 and lost. You know, didn't make the playoffs. But the expectations was high. This the problem. You got a Bengals team that was playing in the Super Bowl last season. You overlooked the wrong team. Cincinnati play outdoors just like Buffalo. So the elements didn't bother them. They're in the same elements. It might be a little bit colder in Buffalo, but that's about it. Bengals in the second half of the season put together one of the better stretches than any other team in the league. It got undermined. It got slept on because nobody was talking about it. People forgot.
The Eagles are probably the most dangerous team in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, people forgot that Bengals represented the AFC in the Super Bowl, and they're going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl again because I'm making a prediction that the Bengals is finna go into the KC because guess why? Joe Burrow has never lost to Patrick Mahomes since he's been in the league. So my prediction for the AFC Championship, Cincinnati Bengals win and go on to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. It's just going to be that way. Bengals got everything you need right now. They're loaded on the offensive side of the ball. Loaded. And defensively, they're playing that style of defense that got them in to the Super Bowl. They got healthy at the right time. They started playing well at the right time. And offensively, with, you know, Chase, Hurst, Higgins, Boyd, Mixon, this man spreading the ball out, everybody getting some. Everybody eating. So, and you got Patrick Mahomes who's going to play with a high ankle sprain. I commend you, brother. But the Bengals ain't going to care about your high ankle sprain. They're going to come after you, and they're going to make you uncomfortable in the pocket. And they can do that because they got some dogs up front on their defensive line that can get after the quarterback. So it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a good game. But I'm predicting Chiefs upset. Well, it can't be an upset. These are the two best teams in the AFC. So I'm not going to say an upset. But Bengals beat Kansas City at home and seeing Kansas City, playing golf. And they'll be in the Super Bowl. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring him in because he just came on with us. Rat Pack Sports Show NBA insider,